Okay. You know what really sucks is that last week we wasted that really good opportunity for just like an intro to everything with your three belt story. And now the people are just never gonna know why you're called Jaden Three Belts. And they're just gonna have to accept it. And it's gonna be a huge mystery. And on that note, welcome to the first episode of 1306 Live, episode 1, attempt number 2. Last week we had some technical difficulties, but I am back. My name is Andrew Gabriel. I am with Three Belts, or rather, Jaden Three Belts Becker. Jaden, how are you doing?
Very good. Very good. A good week of wrestling.
Yeah. It was a good week of wrestling. Let's talk about it. Raw. two talking points, because we're not going to go... We explained this last week, but since technology wanted to just be the worst, we're just going to talk... We're not going to run through all the shows, but we're going to say the most important parts, because if you really wanted to figure out what we think of every single segment of the show, just go to 1306sports.com and read Jaden's articles. It's really not that hard. But we are going to discuss Raw first, and the number one thing that everybody in the wrestling world is talking about is that Becky dropped the belt in more ways than one. No, I'm sorry.
Wow! I didn't know we were doing this.
Congratulations to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins on their incoming child. You know, I thought of something. Even if their child is male or female, we could still call it Little Man.
Yep. Little Man. That works out perfect.
Yeah, because Becky Lynch is the man. And male or female, it is Little Man. Yes. If you looked, Asuka's the new Raw Women's Champion, which is usually the most important part of stories like this, but it's just not. Becky Lynch was approaching 500 days as Raw Women's Champion, and now she just dipped out. Jaden, what do you think about not only this whole situation, but Becky's title reign? It was a very incredible title reign.
Yeah, an amazing title reign. She definitely came into her own, and I remember back in the beginning of her career, she lost a lot of matches. You know, she wasn't the type of person that, like the Charlotte Flair of or the Sasha Banks of the world, which are one of the main revolutionary pieces, but she lost a lot of matches in the beginning and now obviously blossomed into the man that we know today. And Becky Lynch did an awesome job in that title reign, and I might have to change my Money in the Bank pay-per-view grade, because you know I was a little upset that not one title changed hands at Money in the Bank, but maybe I won't change it, because that's how I felt at the moment, you know. But It is nice to see Asuka hold the title. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Asuka, you want to talk about wrestlers that completely changed the women's game? Freaking Asuka, dude. Oh my god. I mean, that insane undefeated run from NXT to the main roster. She lost to Charlotte at WrestleMania because, I guess, obviously...
Because it's Charlotte Flair.
Because it's Charlotte Flair, and nobody beats Charlotte Flair except Becky Lynch, apparently. But, yeah.
Yeah, and she has racked up, I think, almost every accolade you can rack up in the WWE. She's won the Royal Rumble, she won Money in the Bank, she has won the Tag Team titles, SmackDown title, the Raw title. I'm probably missing one of those in there, but...
Has she not won anything yet? Because she's been... Is Asuka a Grand Slam champion? Am I stupid?
Yes, she is. She is the Golden Slam. She's won everything.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think on SmackDown, Bayley said, "Oh yeah, I'm the only Grand Slam champion." I'm like, wait, no. You're definitely not. I mean, like, for sure not. But yes, congratulations again to Becky and Seth Rollins. And speaking of Seth Rollins... he almost murdered Rey Mysterio in the main event. And this is when it goes from funny to kind of like, ooh, shit. Because Rey Mysterio, Oscar Gutierrez, is in really, really bad condition right now. He's not doing okay. And it's just been a rough week for the guy. There's been attempted murder on him twice in the span of 7 days. The guy is having a terrible week.
Yeah, I think he had three moments in that past weekend where he... almost died. You know, got crushed in between Otis and Nia Jax, and then he gets thrown off the roof and lands 6 feet onto a secondary, smaller roof, and then now he gets his eyes gouged out and almost his mask ripped off. It's not like we've seen him without the mask before, but this added a whole other element to Seth Rollins, and he's like, you call him the Messiah, but now he's acting so demonic. And I liked how he went backstage and he was like, oh, I don't know what I was doing out there. Oh, he was all confused and flustered. And I thought that was awesome. And Buddy Murphy carried the match great. You know, I give all the props in the world to Buddy Murphy because this guy can wrestle.
No matter how great Murphy gets, he will always be underrated. Buddy Murphy is just one of those guys. I want to see a major single title on him someday. I think he would be a fantastic Intercontinental champion.
I worked that a couple weeks back that I remember they had those 3 weeks in a row where it was Black versus Murphy, and it stole the show almost every week. And it reminded me of a lot of the original Cena Orton stuff back in the day where you would see it every week, but you sort of came to enjoy it. But the technical wrestling between the two is awesome. You really see a future there. That's why I was scared to death when they threw Black off the roof. I'm like, is this guy going to be off TV?
He's going back home to Amsterdam. Yeah. And that's how they're writing him off. They're going to literally murder him. Okay, so that's it for Raw. We definitely
one of the best Raws of the year, for sure.
Yeah, it was a really good A-. Raw.
I think they might be the best Raw of the year. We saw a lot in that show, and from shocking moments from Becky Lynch to gruesome moments in Seth Rollins, awesome show.
Yeah, 100%. And again, if you want to see the rest of what we're talking about, 1306sports.com. Check out Jaden's articles. Or just do that anyway, if you're really about it. SmackDown, we have... So in my notes it says the Intercontinental Championship Tournament / Situation. So Sami Zayn is all quarantined up in Canada, one could reasonably assume. And he doesn't want to wrestle in Florida, which, again, reasonable. So the Intercontinental Championship is now vacant, and there's this little tournament going on. And the first two matches were on SmackDown. The first two matches were Elias versus King Corbin... Well, let's talk about that one first, because if I even mention the second one, I'm going to start crying. So, Elias versus King Corbin.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I think the King gimmick is completely overdone. I think there's no possible way to make it, any better. The King Corbin should just go back to being Baron Corbin, because I don't like the whole King thing. It just doesn't...
Yeah, it's lasted a long time, but... You know, a lot of people give a lot of crap to Baron Corbin and saying that, you know, how I see it, he's making you feel such a way emotionally that he's doing his job as a heel that you watch because, like, damn, like, this guy makes me so angry because he's on television. I think that's why he's doing his job well in that sense, right? Some people could argue against me about that, but it is what it is. And him and Elias, that feud has been going on for quite a while, but... At least when they fight, they're fighting for something, you know, they're not fighting for nothing. That's why I love when they put in these type of stipulations where the title isn't on the line for that match per se, but that match means something.
Exactly. And again, I'm not saying Baron Corbin is a bad, he's a great heel. He is the second, in my opinion, he's the second best heel in pro wrestling today. But... it's just the King thing, man. It's just, you know, it'll never be better than King Booker. King Booker was the best King gimmick.
Yes, you can't, it will never be better than King Booker.
You can't up the game that King Booker did for the King gimmick. And then there's Jerry the King Lawler, which isn't the same. That was just his gimmick overall. But it's already been someone's gimmick. Plus,
But the
whole...
King gimmick's always going to be around. That type of gimmick is always going to be there, especially when you do a King of the Ring. You know, you slap a gimmick onto somebody because they won the King of the Ring. Sheamus had to do it. Corbin's doing it now, and Owen Hart, I think, did it a while back, but the King gimmick is always been a thing with that.
I'm not the biggest fan of it, but it was it was a good match between Corbin and
Elias. Solid match.
Good ending with Elias getting angry that Corbin touched his guitar that realistically Elias was going to smash over him anyway, but it doesn't have to make sense. It's wrestling.
Yeah,
so...
You must have read the article because I was a little confused too. Like, so the guitar is going to break anyway, but just because he did it, now you're upset? All right, it's fine.
That was his guitar to break, not yours, Corbin. And he paid via just the most brutal roll-up I've ever seen. But a solid knee to the face, small package that Paul Smackage would be proud of. And then, 1, 2, 3, Elias is moving on to face the winner of, holy shit, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura? When did this, how can you casually put AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura into a tournament? It's AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. They were the, there was that, like, I think it was the four. It was AJ Styles, Nakamura, Gallows, and Anderson that came over from Japan in, I think it was 2017, and it was this whole big thing where they built Styles and Nakamura, and it was this huge, it was, what, I think, did Shinsuke win the Rumble to get to AJ Styles at WrestleMania, and they had this awesome match, Shinsuke heel turn, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, it has just been brushed over, so like, oh yeah, it's just Styles and Nakamura. It's not just Styles and Nakamura, damn it. It is so, I just... It's not getting the respect that
if that match can look anything, if that match can look anything as it looked like when they fought back in New Japan, that would be awesome. Awesome between the two.
It's not getting the respect it deserves. It's just not. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura is not a first round match. It's just not. But at the same time, I do kind of like what they're doing with making the first round matches worth it, because the other first round match, besides the other one that was on SmackDown, which I'm not gonna say yet because again I will get upset, the third one is Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus, which is interesting to me that they're gonna put that feud into it.
I think that's perfect to put into it. They put all the feuds that they need to put in the beginning, and if they separated the feuds, then it could have been predictable, you know, if Jeff Hardy was on one side and Sheamus was on the other side of the bracket, they ended up meeting in the middle. It would have been predictable. Now, it gets it all out the way in the first round, and then you're good. It's all up in the air. No one knows who's going to win. It builds new feuds, and it ends feuds where they need to end.
That is a good point. A good point.
And it's a reasonable ending because it has a type of stipulation. It's not just, oh, it's a random blow-off match in the kickoff show. It means something. This is a tournament.
Yeah, love me a good tournament. I've been keeping up with the NXT Cruiserweight Championship tournament, which they have...
The round-robin deal,
yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't wait for, what is it? Drake Maverick versus Kushida next week. Oh my goodness, Drake Maverick, this is Rockstar Spud at his best. I mean, come on.
Just it is, but he's no longer with the company.
Fighting from the ground up. This is Heath Slater, 2016 SmackDown Tag Team Titles esque energy. Because remember how Heath Slater didn't get drafted in the 2016 draft, and he had to. The only way he could keep his job was by finding a partner and winning the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, and then him and Rhino, because again, wrestling doesn't have to make sense, him and Rhino become the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, and they had a good run. They were, honest to God, Heath Slater was the hottest thing going for a while in WWE, and so I love this Drake Maverick that is just, I am going to give literally everything I have because I have nothing to lose. It's just... It's fantastic. That's why I love tournaments, personally. And the
NXT. Tournaments are great, but it's tough to root for somebody that's no longer with the company right now. And this is either these matches are pre-recorded or still fighting while no longer on the contract or the contract ending, because he was released on Black Wednesday a couple weeks back.
He was.
Another point to that is I believe that it's an interim title.
It is an interim title.
So why couldn't they have done that with the Intercontinental Championship? That's my question, you know? And then had that feud build up.
I think because it's an NXT Championship, they can get away with it.
They could have gotten away with it in the WWE, especially in the day it is now, of how things are working.
Could they have gotten away with an interim Intercontinental title? Especially because they're also doing it in NXT.
And then have a big...
Everyone just has an interim title now, okay.
And then have a big match with Sami Zayn when he comes back, presumably SummerSlam, with the Interim Championship. And then the winner wins at whatever.
I hope they give Sami Zayn a shot at the title again. They have to. But again, we're back on the Intercontinental Championship. The other match, the other first round match, was Daniel Bryan against Drew Gulak. I mean, first of all, the reason I'm sad about this is because Drew Gulak's contract ran out with WWE yesterday, and now he's actually no longer with the company, and I'm very upset about that, because this match was a technical masterpiece. It was really something. There was only one strike that was thrown in the match. Daniel Bryan attempted a running knee that was countered. But other than that, not a single punch or kick was thrown in the match.
Wow, I didn't think of that. That's crazy. Yeah. and the thing with Drew Gulak, that all came up because he moved to the alumni page on the WWE.com. And people are like, oh, this might be just a mistake. It happens all the time. A couple weeks back, we saw a couple other guys get moved to the alumni page that weren't supposed to be there. And then Pro Sheet comes out and is like, oh, no, never mind. It's he's gone.
It was 100% not a mistake.
Yeah, so people thought it was a release. It was first reported as a release from the company, as in him being just cut. Mm-hmm. But his contract just ends up ending. Just no longer... You know, a lot of contracts are coming up, actually. Even Rey Mysterio coming up in September. That's why I think he might be in limbo right now. But, you know, Gulak, he's gone. And maybe they'll re-sign him. I doubt it, given that they're trying to cut costs, even though they don't have to, and they're a billion-dollar company, and they're just deciding to drop all these people for whatever reason to make their shareholders happy. And
It's so they can keep MVP under contract. The greatest professional MVP wrestler under contract. Montel Vontavious Porter.
Yes, they want to keep MVP under contract. They want to keep Undertaker under contract, who just signed a 15-year deal. Yeah, 15-year deal with the WWE. So that means his contract lasts until he's 70 years old. So odds are we're going to see him in Saudi Arabia wrestling against Shawn Michaels again for some whatever reason when he's 70 years old.
The world is going to go so far advanced. There are kids being born today that are going to wrestle The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia. Because that's just where we are. Those Saudi Arabia shows suck, by the way. Yeah. Alright, the other note from SmackDown. That's right, there is more. Also, I should say, Daniel Bryan, of course, did beat Drew Gulak because, you know. And it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus the winner of Sheamus and Jeff Hardy in one side of the bracket. And then Elias, who went over Corbin, against the winner of, again, holy shit, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura on that side of the bracket in the semifinals. But the other note we have for SmackDown is the feud with Banks and Bayley, and how Charlotte Flair kind of stirred the pot. Jaden, you go first.
Yeah, I'm in love with this. I love this feud.
I know you love this feud.
Yes, they've given us so much, right? And it's to a point where like we're begging for a Sasha Banks here. We're begging for it. We want it so bad, but they're not going to give it to us right away. You know, they're making us really scratch and claw for it. I thought they were going to do it right away at Money in the Bank, where it would be Sasha would interfere in some way, shape, or form, costing the title, but inadvertently costing Bayley the title, just like how Bayley inadvertently cost Banks a Money in the Bank slot. So I was hoping it would happen there, but obviously we didn't see that. But now with Charlotte Flair getting involved, adding some needed star power to it, that I think that rivalry has been, well, that brewing rivalry has been missing. I think it adds the perfect touch of star power. And now next week there's going to be a Charlotte versus Bayley match, champion versus, and then how Bayley quoted it, air quotes, champion, burying the whole NXT women's roster. Very sad. Very, very sad. But yeah, I love this feud. And I don't know when they're going to blow it off. I guess SummerSlam would be the pinnacle of it, right?
It and all leads to SummerSlam, team. Yeah. Everything is SummerSlam.
Because that feud is too major for it to end at Backlash or Extreme Rules. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That would be a travesty if they ended it at Extreme Rules or Backlash.
If they do have a match at Extreme Rules and they are having a rivalry, that would be the first of two parts. At least I would hope.
Yeah. Somebody's going to win via shenanigans.
Yeah.
If they do it at Extreme Rules or Backlash. So with this feud, for me, like, first of all, there is no lack of star power. Charlotte Flair being there really, really helps because, like, she's been...
When I say lack of star power, yeah. When I say lack of star power, I mean, like, who else are they feuding with? Like, Tamina? Like, you know, like, there's no other people there besides them two. So to add another head into the mix legitimizes it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. Mandy Rose, she's a contender. No. But it is cool. Yeah, the SmackDown Women's Division it's not bad. The wrestlers are good, but there is a bit of a lack of star power in the division.
Yeah, it's split up too aggressively between Raw and SmackDown.
And NXT is stacked. Nobody knows it. I mean, everybody that watches NXT knows it. Everyone that doesn't know. But, yes. Bayley.
Bayley does not watch NXT, presumably.
Bayley does not. Io Shirai? Dude, I don't know who that is. That person probably is crap. Isn't Bianca Belair on Raw now? Because I know she made an appearance with the Street Profits and her real-life husband, Montez Ford. But I just haven't seen her since then.
Yeah, everything's up in the air now because of the pandemic, so people will just be switching shows left and right. This whole brand-to-brand invitational, I consider it to be BS because I want people to stay on their respective shows because that's what the brand split is for. And it was like the terrible wild card rule that they had, I think, like a year or two ago.
Oh my God, I remember the freaking wild card rule. What a stupid name for that. Yeah, no, but at this point, one thing I noticed about everybody who's still wrestling right now is that they all live in Florida. Everybody, because so many of the people that wrestle in the WWE today, and this is good on WWE, came up through the WWE Performance Center and came up through that system. Even the bigger guys like Rollins, Braun Strowman was in NXT, I believe. Yeah, he was.
Yes, those two, I think, the first season of the Performance Center. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
Seth came through FCW.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to start calling WWE, Florida Championship Wrestling. This is 1306 Live, a weekly FCW podcast. I just find that interesting. But anyway, where were we? Shit. Flair and Bayley and Banks. Just the whole horsewomen thing, adding Flair to it, being like, "Yo, Banks, why are you Bayley's bitch right now? What's good?" And having Banks standing there like, huh? Like, with the over-dramatic, like, you know what? You got a point, face. I think that's really good. That's a fantastic thing for the feud. And Bayley's just standing there like, no, everything's great. Like an idiot. And I think it's just fantastic for the feud. I am really looking forward to seeing this come to a head. And I think it reminds me a lot of how Becky Lynch became the man. She was tired of being in Charlotte Flair's shadow, maybe in a different way, because Charlotte Flair, they weren't like partners or anything. Well, they were before. There's another parallel. Becky and Charlotte were little partner friends before Becky became the man. And then Becky wins a title opportunity, and Charlotte Flair takes it. And then Becky just becomes the insanely popular main eventer of WrestleMania. This is a lot like that. Sasha Banks has the potential, if they play this right, to become the next Becky Lynch.
Wow, so you're calling it out right now. Stirring the pot. One goes down, another one steps up. Sasha Banks, the next. I hope she changes her theme back to the other one. I had a dream, I really love that song.
There's the Snoop Dogg version that was performed.
I'm not a big fan of it. I've never been.
That's rough. But
I know.
Dude, that's the D-O-double-G. That's her cousin. Everybody's cousins in WWE. I thought, again, this is... We'll talk about this another time, but I think it's very funny. Not maybe comedically funny, but a little bit offensive that a lot of minority superstars are paired up as relatives. Like, why the hell were Jinder Mahal and the Great Khali brother-in-laws? I mean, come on.
Hey, stuff gets freaky over there in India, so you never know.
Nah, I don't know. We'll talk about that another time. I just think a little bit of it is bullshit. But on to NXT.
Yep.
We have two notes here. The first is Riddle and Thatcher lose titles to Bartel and Aichner. And I think this is fantastic that an actual tag team... Well, actually, thinking about that, Riddle and Thatcher are very familiar with each other because back in a promotion called Evolve, they were a part of this, I think, stable with Drew Gulak and someone else. I don't remember. I think there were multiple people. It was called Catchpoint, and it was just like, we are wrestlers and we wrestle and we don't flip, we just wrestle. And Riddle and Thatcher were parts of that, so I thought it was cool that they were teaming up again. But in typical WWE fashion, Riddle makes a mistake and monkey flips one of the... I don't remember who, but either Aichner or Bartel. Monkey flips him into Timothy Thatcher. And since it's wrestling and the concept of an accident is completely foreign, Timothy Thatcher gets mad and storms off. And then Riddle gets the tar beaten out of him and drops the titles. And then later in the night, Thatcher and Riddle start to beat each other up again. And I don't exactly remember how that segment ended. I don't know if... It was technically a match. But I don't remember who won. Or if something happened. I'm completely drawing a blank. And I shouldn't because I watched it this morning.
Hey. Add on there, the two things that NXT has done really well in the past couple of years is develop women into the WWE into a high scale, into a legitimate scale, which is amazing. And they've also, as of right now, Triple H has boosted that tag team division in NXT. It seems that the tag team division is way more important than the actual singles in NXT. For some whatever reason, the tag teams over there have just been phenomenal. You know, and Triple H just loves tag teams, and that's one thing that main roster has been lacking is tag teams. So when a lot of these tag teams get called up, it's going to be something special.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's hard to have faith when tag teams get called up because, and I only have to say these three words, the Viking Experience. So it's just
difficult. Okay, yes and no, because we're going to, a lot of people were upset that they're playing basketball, but now this week they're going to do an axe throwing contest, right?
Listen,
I understand that people are upset, and the carpool karaoke I do think was a fault, but the basketball I think was fine. That was fine because there's not a lot of tag teams on Raw anymore. You know, the AOP injured, right? The OC gone. The Revival gone, right? So a lot of these big name tag teams are no longer there. All the big tag teams are sort of on SmackDown right now. And the Forgotten Sons have been proving their own, even cut a great promo this week on SmackDown. So Raw is sort of struggling. So this is a good way to fill the void without having them fight each other for 4 weeks in a row leading up to a pay-per-view or just squashing enhancement talent. So I think it's a happy middle. People might not be happy with it, but I think the Street Profits have been doing a great job with them. So are the Viking Raiders, so we'll see this week.
But even before all that, I didn't like how, first of all, they've been War Machine, War Raiders, they had cool names. Like, I don't even know why they changed War Machine. There was no need for that. But at least they were still Hanson and Rowe, right? And then they weren't. Mm-hmm. They were Eric and Ivar. I sometimes call Ivar Hanson. Like, I legitimately cannot bring myself to call them their names. It's just, I don't like how it gets changed so much. Like, the Authors of Pain aren't even called Authors of Pain anymore. They're just called AOP. Why? What is the point? What do you gain? What do you gain from taking away the words that are those letters? It just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't love... Like, one of these days, they're just going to call Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, they're just going to call them Street.
Street with the Prophets.
Yeah, no, they're just Street. Not the Street Prophets. Street. Hailing from the Street. Street. It's just, I don't like... I think... Johnny Gargano is doing the best possible thing and just staying his ass in NXT because they're just going to change his name to Johnny when he gets up there like they did to Cesaro and Neville and who else? Apollo Crews was just Apollo for a while, but that was for another reason because the name Crews wasn't really loved that much that year because of the whole, you know, Parkland shooting thing.
No.
So they gave him his last name back, though. They did. But WWE just has a tendency to take people's first names for whatever reason.
Yeah, Cesaro. WWE has the ultimate control. You know, like we don't really see that in a lot of other wrestling promotions. But when you go to WWE, it's the land that can make you or break you, and they have ultimate control over your character. Obviously, the talent tries their best to enhance it, but they have ultimate control because it's a show and it's their show.
Okay, but what was wrong with the name Buddy Murphy? Why is he just Murphy now?
Yes, that one did bother me.
What is the word wrong?
I understand. All right, maybe when he turns face again, hopefully we get the word Buddy
back.
What is
wrong with the name Antonio Cesaro? That's a pretty badass name.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to be from Switzerland. And Antonio sort of like... That's more of a
So
talent,
is Cesaro!
I don't know, Cesaro's a little bit more ambiguous than... Antonio, you know?
Well, then what? Because his real name, he always went by Claudio Castagnoli, which is his real name. Why did they... Because WWE gave him the name Antonio, where he just was like, nah, we'll have that back.
I don't know. I can't answer this question.
I will never... I'm going to try forever to understand why they name people the way they name people, and I'm never going to understand, and I just need to accept that. So the other note we have for NXT, that's right, we're still on that. NXT... or rather DX, announced that there's going to be a thing. The next takeover is called NXT TakeOver In Your House, which is a play on the... It used to be, like, the pay-per-view series, I guess?
In Your House was the first ever pay-per-view series that was, I think, outside of WrestleMania. But I think the first ever was, like, you know, this is the big build, and it just be In Your House... colon, and then, like, a name of name whatever, you know?
I think there was literally one called In Your House Degeneration X or something like that. Yep. It was like the way they name UFC pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But...
And it was awesome. And, like, they used to have, like, the big, like, house set up in the entrance ramp. So people would, like, walk out the entrance ramp and be walking, like, out of the house. That was awesome.
Oh, man. Rest in peace, creative entrance ramps. I wish those were still about. Especially in the early and mid-2000s. Oh, my God. In the Attitude Era, too. Those stages were nice as hell. But, anyway. This whole In Your House gimmick, again, works for the time, given the big bad Rona is still kicking about.
Given that we're all still in our houses, yes.
We are still in our houses. And it's probably going to be held in their house, which is the Performance Center. And I just think it's going to be a nice little bit of nostalgia for those who used to watch the In Your Houses back in the 90s. I think it'll be pretty sick. Great idea by WWE Creative.
Great idea.
And that's not something I say often. Last thing we're going to quickly go into is this week's AEW. Inner Circle versus the Elite. I've said this before on the podcast. I think Chris Jericho is the greatest of all time, and I will fight anybody who disagrees. As well as this.
Of all time, of all the wrestlers to ever wrestle,
I think Chris Jericho is the best one.
He's definitely up there. I'm reading Jim Ross's book right now, Under the Black Hat, and Jim Ross talks about how he was the one that introduced Chris Jericho to Vince McMahon. And that story goes like, oh, how tall is he? And he's like, he's 5'7". He's like, 5'7"? McMahon, like, craps his pants, but then Jim Ross says that he's 5'10 after that. He checks his notes, quote unquote, and says he's 5'10. So, height shouldn't matter, but to Vince it does.
It's because Vince McMahon loves big, sweaty men. We know this. Why was Braun Strowman and... It was Braun Strowman, Goldberg, Drew McIntyre, and Brock Lesnar in the two world title matches at WrestleMania. If you want to tell me that Vince McMahon is over his love of big, sweaty men, you're wrong. So, yes, I love the Inner Circle. I love Sammy Guevara as well, my favorite wrestler going today. I've been watching him on the indies when he was the King of Wrestle Circus in 2017. I followed his career very closely since, and I love that he's doing this with Chris Jericho. Lay Sex Gods is my favorite tag team on this planet. And it's going to be them, Jake Hager, who is a monster. I love this actual fighter instead of the stupid all-American little jackass that was on WWE. I love that. And Santana and Ortiz, fantastic tag team. And it's going to be them versus the Elite, which members of the Elite couldn't tell you. We talked about it yesterday, and we think because Cody is going to be in the TNT Championship match, it's going to be, and we might be missing things here, Kenny, Hangman Page, The Bucks, and Matt Hardy. Unless they're still doing the whole Nick Jackson is still dead, which I'm not totally, I don't know if they do. Maybe Cody's going to do it twice in a night. He probably would. It's Cody Rhodes. I don't put that past him at all. He would do it. What do you think about this? And the whole stadium thing. Like,
I love the stadium idea. My only question was the same question I sort of had with the Money in the Bank climb the corporate ladder match. And it's like, how are they going to fill all this space, you know? Because you're in a stadium. How are you going to fill all that space, you know? And especially with no crowds or anything like that. How are you going to fill it? That's my only question. If there's enough people, then they definitely could do it. And I guess the corporate headquarters was sort of easier because it's in hallways, but this is a stadium, you know, it's a lot. There's not that many walls here. So that's my only question, but I'm excited, and I would love to see how they do it.
I think this match has terrific potential, and AEW has yet to disappoint me. And I haven't even watched Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega versus the Young Bucks at AEW Revolution. I need to watch that because I was looking on ProfightDB at the best rated matches of all time. Apparently, at AEW Revolution, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page versus the Young Bucks was a 6-star match, and that's out of 5 stars because that's that's how math works, apparently. So I need to watch that match. But other than that, I still love everything AEW has put out. So I honestly, I've not been disappointed yet, and I will start being skeptical once AEW disappoints me. But for now, I completely believe in them.
Yeah, you gotta remember now, like, it's so new to us, AEW, and that type of, like, oh, for at least for us at least, because we didn't live through the Attitude Era. We didn't get to see all the raw and raunchiness of TV-14 television, or TV-MA television, right? We're watching PG WWE. They've been watching for years since I was, you know, 6, 7 years old, right? So now this comes, and this is so new to us on such a, like, obviously you can watch it on the indie scale, but on TNT, on your television, it blows you away.
And, dude, they say the shit word.
Everything they do is so new.
They swear. It's really cool. I love wrestling. They say so many bad words. Oh, I love it when Maxwell Jacob Friedman calls me a loser. Anyway, again,
me too.
I did say that Baron Corbin was the second best heel in wrestling today. Number one is MJF. And if anybody thinks otherwise, then they can go be wrong somewhere else. So, Inner Circle vs. Elite Stadium Stampede at Double or Nothing. Very excited for that. The other note we have for a dub is the feud with Moxley and Mr. Brody Lee in the Dark Order. First of all, I love the fact that Brody Lee is immediately a main event player. And he freaking, if you had told me Luke Harper would be wrestling Dean Ambrose for the world title a few years ago, I'd be like, what are you talking about? But now that AEW exists, John Moxley and Brody Lee are fighting for the AEW World Championship. And Brody Lee has stepped out of the role of a follower of a big spooky boy, and he is instead the head big spooky boy. What do you think about his role in the Dark Order?
Last week we talked about it on the podcast. I didn't go through. I talked about how he has just came into his own. He has this character now that sort of is supposed to resemble... Well, not supposed to, because he has came out and said that it's not about Vince McMahon, but it is. It is about Vince McMahon. There's no way it's not about Vince McMahon. You know, you can't sneeze, you know? He has to be the first one to finish eating. How tall are you? What's your weight? Before he even asks you what your name is, right? He has done such a great job. He's really coming to his own, and I remember he talked on the Talk Is Jericho podcast. You know, if you get released from WWE, the first thing you do is go to the Talk Is Jericho podcast, because that's like
unless
the law,
CM Punk,
I guess.
And then you go to Art of Wrestling. Yeah. Art of Wrestling.
Yeah, true. So. And he talked about what he wants to do and how he wants to reinvent himself, and boy, he did.
Yeah, I think we said last week that his character has become a mixture of Vince McMahon and the original Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
He's like a corporate spooky boy. It's fantastic. And he's just... That's
the best way to put it.
Dude, corporate spooky boy, Mr. Brody Lee. And I noticed... And I have to watch AEW Dark, and I keep faulting myself for not doing it. Number 10, who is just this absolute monster of a dude. He wrestled on AEW Dark, and I need to watch that match, because clearly he's about it. Like, look at him. Jesus Christ. He's like a white Bobby Lashley. His build. Like, he's a very big boy. And I just hope... Because his identity, I do know it. You can Google it very easily. It's not this incredible former star that got fired from WWE and you're going to be surprised. It's this dude named Preston Vance. He's like a former football player. But look at him. I haven't seen him wrestle yet, but it looks like he's about it. Because AEW doesn't hire just like any crappy wrestler. So
very true.
I need to watch his dark match against John Cruz, which absolutely screams squash match, but we'll have to look at that. So I would say, if we want to see AEW, what we thought of the whole show, go look on 1306sports.com, but I'm going to start writing those next week, because...
Yeah, I'm about to say, you need to get on it. I've been putting in some hard work here.
I had 8 a.m.s on Thursdays, and if you thought I was about to stay up until 3 a.m. and then have to wake up for an 8 a.m., and it was freaking field production. Like, I can't miss that class. That was important for my major. So, I held off the whole writing thing, but I've gotten some pretty good responses to my writing, and I think you have too, Jaden.
Yeah, I've been loving it so far. You know, it gives me a good release to... When I want to rip my hair out from what I see on WWE television, I get to rant about it on a nice forum here on 1306.
Yeah, the thing is, I love ranting about wrestling, but if I'm writing about AEW, I'm going to have to look for things that are bad, and I don't want to do that. I love enjoying AEW, but as long as they just keep not sucking, I'll just keep saying that they don't suck. All right, so that's it for the recap segment, which went kind of long, but... In light of Rey Mysterio being essentially dead, he will be within the next 2 weeks of his pace. We did Money in the Bank trivia last week, but that didn't go up. So now we have Rey Mysterio related trivia, and the way we did it was we put.
Let's just say I did really bad, and it didn't. It just went
if
so
Rey
bad.
Mysterio fucking dies, Jaden, I'm finished. I hope he's not going to die. Obviously, I hope he's not going to die. But just the way he's going, he may have been written off television. Either way, we have Rey Mysterio trivia. It's three questions each. Two of them are reasonably easy, and then the third one is just... It's just supposed to suck for the other person. And then after that, we have a couple more small segments. Since... I Well, I mean, I could say I won last week, but it doesn't really matter.
You definitely won.
No, I for sure did because my questions. I'll let you pick again. Do you want to go first or defer?
I'm gonna defer.
All right. So I'm asking first, or you're?
Yes, asking? You're asking me first.
All right. Jaden had a fantastic showing last week. By the way, it was very close. All right. Rey Mysterio has been a tag team champion in WWE 4 times with 4 different partners. Name 2 of them.
I have the same question for you.
No, so. Really?
Yes.
All right, so name 2.
Edge, RVD, Eddie Guerrero, and Batista.
Oh, wow.
Those were just the 4, so.
All right, well, my question is null and void. That wasn't supposed to happen. Okay.
And that was my medium question. And that's your easy one?
I'll ask again because that one doesn't count. Okay. I think this one is easier. I'd like to think. Rey Mysterio's only WWE Championship victory came in 2011 when he won a tournament for the vacant title. Who did he beat in the finals?
Oh. I know he held it for a day, right?
He held it for like half an hour and then dropped it to Cena in the same show.
Cena, okay. I think he beat Hardy.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Which Hardy?
Jeff.
It was The Miz. You're wrong.
Oh, how are you going to do that to me?
Jeff Hardy was overdosing in TNA in 2011.
Oh, my God.
In matches against Sting. All right, what's my first question?
No. Wait, I don't even want to ask. Rey Mysterio's won Royal Rumble victory. What year did he win the Royal Rumble?
Did you fucking ask me what year Rey... It was 2006.
Yes, good job.
What? That was easy.
That was supposed to be the easy one. And then my middle one...
Oh my gosh. All right. Well.
And then my middle one was the tag team ones. And then I got a hard one, but I guess you can go.
Oh dear. Oh dear. All right, Jaden, here's the hard question. And at any point during this question, you can just forfeit. On March 9th, 1996, at the ECW Big Ass Extreme Bash Night 2, that was the name of the event, Rey Mysterio competed in his only match ever rated 5 stars by Dave Meltzer. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match. Who was his opponent?
Did his opponent ever wrestle in WCW?
Yes. He was also a cruiserweight in WCW.
Dean Malenko.
I will give you another chance and another hint.
Oh,
he wore a mask.
Oh, he wore a mask.
He wore a mask.
WCW. Did this person ever wrestle WWE?
I don't actually know. Maybe. Possibly.
Maybe. Did he have a mask that had horns on it?
Yeah, there were horns on his mask.
I know who it is. I forgot his name. Oh shit.
I'll give you a few more seconds. All right. We were looking for Juventud Guerrera.
I wouldn't have gotten it.
Were you thinking of Jushin Thunder Liger?
Yes, I was thinking of Liger. Shit.
It was not a Jushin Thunder Liger. All right, what's my next question?
How many masks does Rey Mysterio own?
Oh, fuck! Wait, that's really different. How many masks does Rey Mysterio own? I'm only going to ask you one question. Is it greater or less than 25?
Greater.
Oh, yeah. I was really hoping you would say less than, because then I could have more... Oh, crud. Oh my gosh. So he has been around for bricks upon bricks. He was in ECW, obviously. He's wrestled a shit ton in Mexico. WCW. His career dates back to the early 90s. He is still wrestling now. He's still bringing out new masks. 120.
That's your final answer?
I'm gonna get it wrong, but yeah, fuck it.
In 2008, Rey Mysterio answered the question revolving around the amount of masks he owns. He said, a little over 500 masks.
Wow. I mean, that sounds about right. The fact that I said everything I just said and came out with a number like 120, that's on me. That is on me. Greater or less than 25. Maybe a bit greater. Okay.
If I said greater, then it might have been...
I would say it's that's a bit more than 25. So what, I got one right, and I don't think you got any. All right, I win one now.
Hey. What? Well, hey, you answered me a question that I had asked for you.
All right, so I win 2-1.
Fine.
All right. Couple more small segments. We have decided this week to award a match of the week. And Jaden, I will let you go first.
You gonna let me go first?
I'm gonna let you go first.
I hope I don't step on your toes here, but I'm gonna say Drew Gulak, Daniel Bryan. This is maybe Gulak's last match for the near future, because we don't know if he's gonna get re-signed or not because of this whole COVID. But him and Bryan had an amazing match and a technical masterpiece, as you said. Only one punch thrown throughout the one strike thrown throughout the whole match. There's a couple others up there, but for me, I think it was a no-brainer.
Absolutely. It was a mix between that one and mine, but I just want to say, yeah, those matches that Bryan and Gulak had this past week, you can't just do that every week, because that will get stale so fast. Yeah. I haven't seen a match like that in a really long time. So, of course, never try to do that every week. But the fact that you can get a couple guys like Gulak and Bryan, have them in the storyline they were in, and pull off that match the way they did, it was done to perfection. And it was between that match and my match. I chose, from AEW Dynamite, I chose the Jurassic Express versus Best Friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta. He doesn't go by Trent Barretta. He's just Trent with a question mark. When, in fact, I know it is Trent. So, yeah, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy Jack Perry lost to Chuck Taylor and Trent. So, it was a really great match all around. There were a couple of awesome spots. Jurassic Express was accompanied to the ring by Marco Stunt, who is, like, if I'm Luchasaurus, Marco Stunt is my 4-year-old baby sister. He is this adorable little thing that for some reason keeps getting fed to Brody Lee and Lance Archer. It doesn't make sense. But it was a fantastic match. Best Friends also had Orange Cassidy on their side. And the way that Marco Stunt and Orange Cassidy interacted outside the ring, I thought was hilarious. I thought they did a fantastic job, especially toward the end when Orange Cassidy looked like he was gearing up for something and then got the shit kicked out of him by Rey Fénix, which was a thing because they're both going to be in the casino ladder match at AEW Double or Nothing. I thought that was a pretty cool touch. I'm pretty sure Marco Stunt got hit. He always gets hit at some point. I don't actually know for a fact that he did. I'm just guessing. But the end of the match was really great because, well, first of all, there were other spots in that match. There was the Best Friends suplex Luchasaurus on the outside and then did their hug spot. And then while the camera was zooming out, you saw Jungle Boy running toward them in the ring and then doing a dive on the outside. There was a lot of really good spots in that match, and the talent on the... in the you know, 10 people that AEW has in their stands, which are the wrestlers, they were chanting, like, this is awesome. And I'm like, oh, it was a great match. It was all around a really good match. And the ending was awesome. Chuck Taylor's pile driver onto Jungle Boy, where he, like, holds him over his shoulder and then just spikes him, almost like a power bomb, but onto his head. It was a fantastic match all around. Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, Luchasaurus, a.k.a. Austin from Big Brother 16, versus Chuck Taylor and Trent, get my match of the week.
Very good choice.
Fantastic.
I think we had two very solid matches there for match of the week. So
It was between that and Gulak and Bryan, but I had a feeling that you were going to pick Gulak and Bryan because it did deserve.
The other one I had up in the air was the Seth Rollins match with Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy versus Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black.
That was a good match until Seth Rollins attempted murder, that was attempted murder, on Rey Mysterio. All right, last segment. This is the best part of the show. It's the Gimmick Hall of Fame. I have to reintroduce it. Shit. So, I forgot that... Sometimes I forget that it didn't go up last week. The Gimmick Hall of Fame... You know, if you listen to the 1306 podcast with myself and Ryan Costello, which if you haven't, you should, we, you know, we love a bit of a Hall of Fame. And we didn't want to do something exactly like that for this, so we decided to do a Gimmick Hall of Fame. It could be a wrestler, it could be a type of gimmick, it could be anything. It just has to be something kind of out there. And unfortunately, last week, I wasted Kerwin White. I had to come up with something different. Kerwin White was a really, really good nomination, and I'm pissed that I can't use it again.
I don't think you would have won the nomination, though, if you went to a vote.
Oh, I don't know. Kerwin White was a banger. The Money in the Bank match was a I mean, but you know what? It's fine. I'm not upset. I am. But do you want to say your nomination first, or would you like to defer?
You go first. You go first.
I go first? I'll let you go first, yeah. So, this gimmick slash character didn't just have one face. Many people were this character. My nomination this week is Doink the Clown.
Wow.
Made an appearance at Money in the Bank, if you remember. He was behind a chair.
Yes.
Because...
Very awkwardly.
Because wrestling, Doink the Clown behind a chair. Not the weirdest thing we saw that night, because fucking Otis won Money in the Bank. I don't know how we haven't talked about that. But, yeah, Doink was there. Everyone loves a bit of Doink the Clown. Was in the Gimmick Battle Royal in, like, 2008 at WrestleMania. Doink the Clown's my nomination. Jaden, what are you saying?
Doink the Clown? All right, I'll give you that one. My nomination is, I think, best known for his entrance and his, I guess you could say, championship run and his illustrious career, who he's had many feuds with that many people thought he shouldn't be having these feuds with. But I'm going to nominate R-Truth as my nomination for the Gimmick Hall of Fame. And he has had such a career where you look at it and you look at him now, and he's like, dude, like, what is this guy even doing? But he had like two in-ring matches, one at Money in the Bank and one this week on Raw, and this guy still got it in the ropes. Like, are you kidding me?
Not only that,
at Money in the Bank, he did his entrance rapping with his entrance music. You know, he had everybody in my house saying, "What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?" I'm like, dude, it brought me back, and I think not only should he be inducted into the Gimmick Hall of Fame, but when he retires, he should be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame for being one of the best jobbers in the history of WWE.
Mans isn't even a jobber. He was the United States champion like a minute ago.
He's a
30-something time 24/7 championship holder.
If you're a 24/7 champion in this day and age, you're kind of a jobber, but that's what makes him one of the best jobbers of all time. I wouldn't be a jobber, but one of the best mid-carder.
So you're telling me Rob Gronkowski's a jobber? The current 24/7 champion. All he does is job out to the big guys.
Yep.
Yes. R-Truth and Doink the Clown are the two nominations for the Gimmick Hall of Fame, which you can vote on Twitter at 1306 Sports. It'll be there. I'll retweet it. Jaden will retweet it. It'll be there. And that's gonna wrap it up for the first episode of the 1306 Live podcast. That's pretty cool stuff. Hopefully, if you're hearing this, everything went well. If you didn't,
let's hope so, please.
If you're not hearing this, then I messed up. That's just my fault. We hope you enjoyed. Jaden, we need to work on the outro. I do hope you enjoyed. Yeah, you got a point there.
I did enjoy it. I had a blast.
Fantastic show. Follow us at 1306 Sports on Instagram and Twitter, at 1306 FC, at 1306 Gridiron on Instagram. And fuck it, we'll just talk about this now. Jaden, are we making an account for 1306 Live? We have to. There's no way we don't.
I think so. I don't know. if we're going to call it 1306 Live, if we call it 1306 Ringside, 1306. But expect the 1306 Wrestling Instagram coming
week.
Soon.
There's going to be one within the week.
It's going to come soon.
You're gonna know the official name of it. It'll be when it comes out, it'll be on our socials. You'll know about it. But if you just want to listen to the podcast and find out then, that's cool too. Either way, follow everything when it comes out. Have a fantastic day. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy the graps in the upcoming 7 days, and we'll be right back here with you on Spotify with the next episode. Adios.
See you.